Welcome to CD3, Track 6, Touching on Anchoring. Now we're done training you in advanced state management skills, and it's time to build more of your advanced strategic skills. But before we delve into this more thoroughly, I believe it will be useful to begin discussing the use of something in NLP that we call anchors. Beginners to this process really do not need to know a lot about anchors at this stage. But advanced NLP students would be disappointed if I didn't begin including the subject of anchoring at this stage. The concept of anchoring presumes that as we're working to build emotional responses in ourselves and or others, we can create triggers to get back to or revive those emotional responses later on much more quickly. Anchors, in their simplest form, are much like Pavlov's dog, in that using classical conditioning, Pavlov was able to condition dogs to salivate every time he rang a bell. But anchoring only starts there and can become more elegant, complex, flexible, and much more interesting. And NLP students can make many, many different uses of anchors. Remember, in CD2, I mentioned that if you only need to influence someone one time only, then you don't need to do state chaining. Just elicit your emotions flexibly in your subject, get them into an action state, and call them to action. In such cases, where you'll never want or need to repeat the process, and they also don't benefit from having that new emotional sequence built into their minds for the future, then no state chaining is required. And state chaining requires anchoring. Let me restate this for all levels of listeners. Influencing someone once does not require state chaining, and therefore does not require any anchoring. If you know in advance you're going to want to influence a particular person in this exact way more than once, then you're going to eventually want to build a chain through the states you elicit, and that requires anchoring. Again, with one-time influencing, no chaining, and no anchoring is required. With an intent to influence more than once in the same way, chaining and therefore anchoring is required. Having said all that, I know that most beginners will be overwhelmed attempting to include anchoring intentionally into learning this process. So, to beginners, I say, don't worry about state chaining. Don't worry about anchoring. Simply learn to create the automatic yes, using the basic state sequencing skills at the core of this process. Meanwhile, for the more advanced NLP students listening to this recording, I want to satisfy your needs as well, so let's keep things simple for the moment by reminding you that when you fully go first, your emotional states, your facial expressions, and your voice tonality, all these together become your anchors for each state you elicit. I'm very much a pragmatist, and I don't believe in overcomplicating things when they don't need to be. In short, if you go fully into a state you've already elicited from someone once, other people will follow you into that state faster the next time you do it. So your whole personality, the combination of visual, kinesthetic, and auditory behaviors you exhibit, are perfect anchors for each of these states. After all, why wouldn't they be? That's what helped build each state the first time around. So for the more advanced listeners here, keep in mind that I'm now going to set aside anchoring as a topic. And we'll come back to it later on when it's time to discuss the actual chaining together of states, knowing that even though I'm not talking about anchors during most of this CD when I'm talking about eliciting states, you're constantly setting those anchors anyway every time you successfully elicit any given state. All right, now we'll set aside the topic of anchoring for a while, as beginners to this process should feel perfectly comfortable with not needing to know about anchoring for the time being, as anchoring is not required for creating the automatic yes at least one time.